I'm sorry, what was that?
Strategy. Strategy.
Strategy Matrix.
Strategy Matrix. Strategy. The key to the world is your strategy and how you apply it. What is your strategy?
Strategy Matrix. Now it's gonna. We're gonna say it wrong. You know we're going to. Alright.
Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 5, and we're gonna be talking about the strat.
You did this! You did this!
We're gonna be talking about the strategy matrix. Component.
This is episode 5. Let's start from there.
I already said that.
Say, this is episode 5. You kind of cut weird.
This is episode 5, and we're going to be talking about the strategy matrix element of the compass, code, and strategy method of wayfinding. That's a mouthful.
Thank you for that.
That's a mouthful. So we've been talking over the last few episodes about compass, code, and strategy, which is a way to get a good picture of where you want to go as a business. So we talked about your compass. We talked about finding your true north as a business, mm-hmm. which is a single boiled down concept that tells us what you're about as a company.
If you recall, our fictitious company that we were working with.
Get Her Done Plumbing.
And their true north was Skookum.
Which means done just right, because mm-hmm. their goal is to provide the right service the first time, every time. Then we talked about Code of Honor, which is a series of promises that you make as an organization. And by looking at these promises, we can tell a lot of really important things about your company. And the Code of Honor talks about the promise you make to your customers, which for Get Her Done Plumbing was the promise to provide detailed analysis on the work that they do.
To essentially demonstrate that they are doing the right thing at the right time.
And the second promise is the promise that you make as an organization to your team members. Mm-hmm. And the promise that Get Her Done Plumbing made was to treat their employees with integrity and respect.
Yeah.
And the third promise is the promise that you as an organization, no, the promise that, well, the promise that you as an organization ask that your team members make to the organization.
And we recommend that when new team members join or when you roll this process out, you have everyone sign on the dotted line, making the commitment to the company.
And they should really sign to all three of these commitments because
Absolutely. They
are part of all of these commitments. Yeah. But the third commitment is really their piece, their personal piece that they are, it's the deal breaker. It's what does an employee have to live by in order to be a good fit here? So whatever you choose for that third promise should be something that if an employee can't commit to that, they really don't belong at our organization. So Get Her Done had decided that their promise that they asked of their team members was
To be on time,
mm-hmm. to be prompt. Mm-hmm.
So for some folks that I've worked for, worked under, worked with, punctuality is the key to everything. If you're not on time for those people in particular, that is a deal breaker for them and they want no truck with you. Is that a Midwest term?
No truck with you? I don't think so. No, Dr. Seuss used to use it.
There you go.
Was he Midwest? Yeah, he was like Michigan, right?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
We'll look it up.
The answer will be at the end of the podcast.
We don't want to lead anyone astray about where Dr. Seuss came from.
Very important.
So, right. And at other organizations, if you're 5 minutes, 10 minutes off schedule, no one really cares. As long as you're not late for an appointment with a client, no one's really worried about it. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're communicating really important pieces. And there's not a right answer or a wrong answer. It's a picture of who we are. So the third element of compass, code, and strategy, before we move into that, do you have an answer on Dr. Seuss?
I do. Do we have any guesses? You said Michigan.
I thought Michigan. It's not Michigan.
Massachusetts.
See, there's an M. That's where I got bound up.
Massachusetts.
Springfield,
Massachusetts.
That's still kind of Midwest, yeah?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's still kind of Midwest. So,
No, Massachusetts is East Coast.
Right.
Right.
Massachusetts.
Geography.
Geography. Geography.
That's right.
So if you are listening, you could give us your input on whether you've heard that statement before. Have no truck with something. That's where this started. So if you've never heard that before, let us know. So another piece that I always felt was missing from mission, vision, values was that I feel like mission, vision, values talks a lot about these big, lofty goals. And, you know, I think those are important because that's kind of, that's where my heart lies in our business, mm-hmm. is in those elements. Mm-hmm. But mission, vision, values doesn't really ever touch what the company really does. It doesn't give you a picture of who and what the company is in a nuts and bolts format. And I understand that we have different tools and that every tool isn't meant to do every job. But in my mind, when we're making decisions about where we're going, when we're kind of wayfinding, we really want to understand everything we can about the company.
So we need to be able to tie back into the nuts and bolts element of the business to understand what pieces we're working with. And we need to have a snapshot, a quick, easy way to do that on the fly.
So what we developed for that is our standard strategy matrix.
So this is compass, code, and strategy. So this is the matrix of the strategy for how we're going to move your business forward.
So this part's a little more complicated to talk through because we're going to be looking at some numbers and we're going to be looking at an actual matrix. So if you have a chance, you can take a look at our website, and where this post is posted on the site, in the show notes, you will see an image that is Gitter Dunn's strategy matrix. So you can take a look at that if you want to understand a little better what we're talking about. But if you're listening to this in your car or where you don't have access to that, then we'll do our best to talk you through it.
Yeah, follow along. The numbers are simple here.
So the strategy matrix is also complicated because it is very different for every company. And there are going to be companies who this exact method doesn't fit for. And that's another part of what our role is in this process, is helping to determine a good matrix that can give you a good snapshot, a good kind of fast and dirty snapshot of what your business looks like right now. But for Gitter Dunn, we're going to be able to use our kind of standard strategy matrix.
So essentially what we're going to be talking about is, what are the things that we do? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. What do we do at Gitter Dunn Plumbing? Secondly, how much effort do we put into each one of the things that we do? Right? Mm-hmm. How much effort, how much labor, how much time, how much energy do we put into each one of those buckets? And then the third piece is, what do we get in return? What comes back out of every single one of those things that we do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the first element then is defining the sort of buckets, the categories of what we do. So many, many of our clients already do this. You already have some distinction between the different kinds of work that you do. So for Gitter Dunn, we imagined that they have three categories that they really track and pay attention to.
Most of their work, most of the things that they do fit into these three categories. And I think you could probably identify with some of these categories. Even if you're a different type of business, there are oftentimes different products or series that you'll provide to your customers.
So Gitter Dunn does plumbing, and their three categories are repairs, and that's kind of whether it's commercial or residential, just mm-hmm. any repairs kind of falls into this repairs category, commercial and residential.
So repairs would likely be, you know, a guy or a gal in a truck driving around fixing things as they're called for service. The commercial, I'd imagine, would be a larger project provided for a commercial type customer. And then residential would be maybe multifamily or single family home. And they provide these services, they track these distinctly from one another, and they understand how much effort and energy goes into each one of those and how much profit comes back out of each one of those categories.
So you can see where each of these categories is a really a different piece of their business, because they have different costs, different expenditures, different profitability rates. These are different kinds of work.
Oftentimes, you'll even have different teams that focus on chasing each one of these down. You'll have different team leads, depending on the size of the business. You'll have different delivery methods, depending on which type of product you're providing.
So depending on where a company is in their growth, sometimes when we come in and start having these conversations, they already have a lot of these numbers that they're already tracking. Some companies are really paying attention to, you know, what their profit margins are on different types of work and how things are going, and they have these numbers. Other companies we go in and they haven't started tracking anything like this at all. But regardless, we can still walk through this process, and sometimes all we have is just kind of your general sense of how this is going. You don't necessarily have a bunch of numbers all tracked coming out of an Excel spreadsheet. Sometimes you just have a sense of, well, about half of our work mm-hmm. is that.
Yeah.
And that's fine too, because ultimately the idea is we're going to get the best picture we can right now. And then moving forward, we can work on making that picture more accurate mm-hmm. and better, making those numbers more accurate and better. And that's something that we can help with.
So for Get Her Done Plumbing, we broke the categories of work into repairs, commercial, and residential. And then we asked the fictional owners of Get Her Done about how much of your labor do you put into each one of those categories.
So what we want here are just rough general percents. So we want this to equal 100%. So all in all, what percent of our labor hours are spent in repairs? What percent of our labor hours are spent in commercial work? And what percent of our labor hours are spent in residential work?
So our owners answered the question. 60%, they spend 60% of their labor and their time and their effort on repair type projects. So that's quite a lot for a business. Mm-hmm. So the majority of their output, the majority of their effort goes into repair type projects.
So that tells us something very distinct about this company, mm-hmm. about that's kind of where their focus is. That's mm-hmm. where they're winning work mm-hmm. right now.
If every hour that you have is a vote, they're voting with 60% of their effort on repair type projects. For commercial, they gave us an answer that was 10%. So 10% of their labor hours are spent on commercial type projects. And finally, for residential, 30% of their effort, their labor hours, are spent on residential type projects.
So already we're starting to get a better picture of what kind of nuts and bolts company this is. So they do a lot of repairs, they do a bit of residential work, and just a little bit of commercial work.
Mm-hmm. It could be that they're edging into doing the commercial type projects. It could be that there are only a few commercial type projects available every year. Mm-hmm. It could be that their bidding methods are very conservative on commercial type projects. But you can see that drafting this matrix starts to bring a lot of questions to the surface about the type of work that we do on a daily basis.
So the next column that we're going to look at is our profit, our net profit. So when you look at the money that you have left at the end of the day as a company, roughly how much of that comes from each of your categories? So for Get Her Done, they told us, our fictitious business owners told us, that 30% of their profit comes from their repair work.
So if you remember, they put in 60% of their effort or 60% of their hours, and they see a return or profit of 30% from that sector of the business.
50% of their profit comes from commercial work.
So 10% of their hours were spent on commercial type work, but they're seeing a 50% profit from that. So that's kind of a significant flag if we're talking to Get Her Done mm-hmm. about the profitability of their commercial type projects.
Their commercial projects are going very well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said 20% of their profit comes from residential work, where they're putting in 30% of their time.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is a little hard to crank through over just audio.
Mm-hmm.
But the last column of this is kind of where the value is. This makes it a little easier for us to really look at this and get some information out mm-hmm. of it. And what we're going to do is we're just going to calculate out the ratio. So when we look at hours to profit for repairs, that was 60% of their labor to 30% of their profit. That's a 2-to-1 ratio. So that's a profitability ratio of 2. So What we're looking at here is the closer to one we are, the better we're doing. And if we're below one, that's good. Mm-hmm. If we're above one, that's bad. Because the idea is, if for every 1% of our time we spend, we get 1% of our profitability, then we're kind of right on par.
Mm-hmm.
If we're spending less than 1% of our time for 1% of profitability, then we're doing well, because mm-hmm. that work is turning out more profit.
It's more efficient.
If we're spending, say, 2% of our labor to 1% of our profitability, that's a profitability ratio of 2. That means that's not such good work for us.
Right, we're not being efficient in that situation.
So our commercial work was 10% of our labor hours and 50% of our profitability.
So that's a 1-to-5 ratio, or a 0.2. So this is tremendous for Get Her Done Plumbing.
This is incredibly profitable for them. Mm-hmm. And this is where, unless they have a reason to not want to focus, this is where it would make sense for them to turn their attention.
Mm-hmm. And so every business is different. And it could be that there are other answers under the surface as to why they don't pursue more of these types of projects. Or it could be that there's more information that we need to be aware of about why they're so profitable. And maybe we don't have all the data on it, but most certainly we should be thinking about how can we get more of this type of work.
And finally, their residential work. They spent 30% of their effort. They got 20% of their profit. So that's a 1.5 right. ratio.
So it's pretty good, but you would like to see that trend down toward 1, if at all possible.
So you can see where this gives us a snapshot of what this business does with their time and energy, how that's panning out for them. This is not an end-all be-all. This is not a tool that gives us tons of ability to answer a lot of questions, but this gives us a place to start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
This gives us a snapshot of the whole business and what is and isn't working for us.
So unlike establishing our true north, as we did in Compass. Compass, we don't want to change with the wind. We don't want to change that every moment. But when we're looking at our strategy, we want to evaluate this, say, every month or every quarter.
Yeah, I would say at least no less than once a year. We should at least mm-hmm. annually update this strategy matrix. And we should have the goal that our strategy matrix always gets more accurate, that mm-hmm. it always gets better. So whatever we have to do to get better access to these numbers, mm-hmm. we should make sure we're doing that. But yeah, if you have quarterly meetings, if you have kind of quarterly housekeeping that gets done, then absolutely you should be quarterly updating your strategy matrix.
Mm-hmm. So then the last piece that kind of comes on the tail of this is, what is our action plan to be able to identify where we're most profitable and where we're most successful? And how can we take specific steps to improve our position?
So maybe our Nick and Dave, our owners of Get Her Done, had no idea that commercial was quite such a profitable enterprise. They knew that was good for them, mm-hmm. but they didn't realize how good that was. Mm-hmm. And so now they're going to make the plan that they want to try to bid more commercial work. Mm-hmm. They're going to double the bids that they're putting out for commercial work.
Right. Or maybe they could be a little bit more aggressive on the prices that they're putting out there. So mm-hmm. that means that they're putting out lower prices to get more work. Because if they're seeing a 1-to-5 ratio on those types of projects, and that's the best sector of their business, they could most certainly afford to get a little bit more competitive in the market to bring on more projects, even if they were a little bit less profitable than what they're currently seeing.
But this incorporates information that we would need to get from mm-hmm. Nick and Dave. Because the question is, are they bidding a lot of this work and mm-hmm. just not really winning much of it? Or are they not really bidding that much of this work?
Mm-hmm.
And those answers will kind of lead us into what the plan of action is.
Mm-hmm.
But we should have at least one action plan that is derived from our strategy matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So at least one thing we want to do that we are doing because of what our strategy matrix says.
Right.
In addition, in our action plan, we want to just take a quick pass and look at our compass and our code and see, do we have action items that can help us? So if it was their goal to do the right service every time for their clients, then the question is there a way they can measure that? Can they measure whether or not people are having to call them back out? Maybe they already tracked that information, but they haven't really analyzed their data in that way. They don't really look at that. So you could look at what percentage of the time do we have to come back out and fix a problem more than once?
So in this case, oftentimes businesses will create a separate cost code. And every single time that you're called out to a job, you would track that warranty repair or that repair that you're doing against that cost code, so that we have the ability to track how many times and what percent of our labor is spent in fixing things that should have been done right the first time. Mm-hmm. And then you have the ability to address, why did that go wrong? Why was that not done correctly in the first place? So that you can develop an even more targeted method of delivering the right service every time.
How well are we doing at carrying out our true north at our compass? And for every different compass statement, every different true north, the way to measure that or track that is a little bit different. But the idea is to come up with an action plan for trying to figure out how we're doing. Because if we can't measure a thing, then there's really no point in trying to do it. We really need to be able to tell how we're doing at a thing so that we can get better at it. Mm-hmm. So in the same sense, we would look at our code of honor and again ask ourselves, is there a way we could track how we're doing at this? Is there a way we could do this better? So what we came up with for Get Her Done was that for their promise to provide detailed analysis, Nick decided that he wanted to put together a report. For their repair work, they said, you know, the largest percentage of all of our repair work would actually come down to like one of five different mm-hmm. repairs that we do. That's most of what we do are these specific repairs.
So 95% of what they do fits into five different categories.
So we're going to write up a report on each of those specific problems and repairs and like how to avoid it in the future and what happened. Mm-hmm. And we're going to just keep those in the truck. And as long as what the repair is encompassed in one of those reports, we're just going to give that to the client. It's this thing that we can do. We can put a few hours into it. At the front end. And mm-hmm. it gives our clients this sense of understanding what happened.
Yep.
And really contributes to what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So that would be another action item that could come out of that code of honor, that promise that you make. So the idea is to kind of run through everything we've just created and look at what are our action items? What should we be doing differently? What should we change or measure mm-hmm. in order to do a better job at what we're trying to do? Because ultimately that's the goal all the time. You know, there's this discussion that says a business should always increase its profitability every year or should always grow every year.
That's capitalism.
And I think, you know, of course, that's what we're looking for. Of course, that's what we want to do. But I think it's more important that we are always doing better every year. And what doing better is doesn't necessarily always mean just a 5% increase in profit. Mm-hmm. It means we're measuring better, we're tracking better, our processes are better. Mm-hmm. And I think that will lead to profit. But I think it's a better way to measure that we're growing mm-hmm. as a business. It's a better way to look at our business.
Well, and not all businesses have profit as their number one focus. So for example, if you're working with a nonprofit, their measure of success is how many people did they help?
Absolutely.
Right. But of course, the more efficient that we are and the more work we're able to do with less effort, the more people we can help. So you find that oftentimes there is overlap in providing more efficient service. The better we get at a thing, the better we can do and the more efficiently we can use our resources.
Absolutely. So that is the strategy component, and that is compass, code, and strategy.
If you're listening to this point, you made it all the way through. Congratulations.
Achievement unlocked.
That's right. Unlocked.
So in the upcoming episodes, you are going to hear us walk through our new compass, code, and strategy.
I think I heard you just say episodes.
Yes, I think it's probably a fair bet that it's going to take us more than one episode to get through it.
We'll see.
Again, we're still figuring out this whole podcasting thing,
mm-hmm.
but that's the plan. So stay tuned and you'll get to hear more in the coming weeks about Arcade and what our compass code and strategy look like. And we're not just going to walk through that for you. We're actually going to develop that live on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So you'll get to hear us kind of work through some of those questions and decisions that have to be made.
But one thing we do know about it is that it's called the Arcade Way. And you'll be able to find that after it's developed right on our website. You'll be able to find out what our compass code and strategy are.
And our website, you can find us at www.arcadewayfinding.com. You can find this podcast at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. And you can find this podcast on iTunes and any other place where you find podcasts, hopefully.
Be sure to check out our training calendar. Lots of cool events coming up. If you want to save more time, we have Working in Control series coming up, and also Mary's Tech Talks that are free to the general public. It'll be a great time for everybody if you want to learn a little bit more about technology and what issues everybody's being faced with as we're moving forward in time.
Stay tuned for outtakes.
Stay classy, Seattle.
See, we need something like that, right? We gotta think
Stay
about that.
Stay sexy, Seattle.
See, that's not it. Okay, so there's the matrix.
Okay, so this is basically labor hours.
You wanna call it labor hours instead of man hours?
Just call it man hours, it's fine.
No, labor's better. Man hours is sexist.
But it's percent of your effort is what it is. Percent of your output.
I'm just saying, Wonder Woman probably doesn't appreciate if you refer to it as man hours.
Yeah, she does, because the women don't do the work, the men do. The women just do the
benefits. I don't think that's true. I think Wonder Woman does all the plumbing she wants to.
Wonder Woman plumbing service?
That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. If you had a plumbing service where, like, everyone shows up in Wonder Woman costumes and does plumbing. Maybe it should be carpentry.
It's disgusting.
I think you probably want more protection for plumbing.
It's gross.